Moving on to our next group of case studies, we have two folks from the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. We have Bill Arellano, who's the Deputy Director of the Division of Development Finance within DHCD. He's responsible for both single-family lending and the Housing and Building Energy Program. He assisted in the growth of energy efficiency programs at the department, including the creation of the Housing and Building Energy Program. This program manages single and multifamily weatherization and other energy efficiency programs for low-income families, as well as working with mortgage lending through the Maryland Mortgage Program. His coworker, Scott Falvey, joined the department in 2013 as a multifamily energy construction management officer, where he was responsible for program development and compliance. He has served as the multifamily energy efficiency program manager since 2014. To that position, he brings as many years of experience with commercial and residential construction that he obtained by working with his family-owned construction company. So we look forward to hearing your state-specific perspective on this issue, Scott and Bill. Go ahead.
Very good. Thank you very much for the invitation. We appreciate the opportunity to kind of share what it is that we've done. The Multifamily Energy Efficiency and Housing Affordability Programs, we actually created this very difficult name, ended up calling it MEHA. And it started back in 2009 as a partnership between the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development and the Maryland Energy Administration, which is our energy administration for the state. They utilized some SEP funds, the state energy program funds from DOE, as well as REGI funds to provide the start of this. We then were successful in getting some EECBG funds from DOE in the B-Smart program, and we were able subsequently to get funds from what's called Empower Maryland, which we'll explain as we go through our presentation. The DHCD, first of all, is the housing finance agency for the state of Maryland. That is a special federal designation that allows us to sell tax-exempt bonds to finance low and moderate income rental units, as well as tax-exempt financing for mortgage lending. We have over $1.5 billion in our portfolio of multifamily loans with over 400 developments, which means that we have a very strong relationship with the developers and property owners, as well as understanding the complexities of tax-exempt financing, which makes the use of some of the money for energy efficiency a little bit more challenging. And we also have 30 years of experience with these developers, as well as 30 years of experience in the single-family weatherization side. One of the things that we're also proud of is that we were rated number one or number two for the last decade by Global Green in what's called our Qualified Allocation Plan. This, is again, is a federal requirement for us to provide what's tax credits for the development of housing for low to moderate income families. And through that, we had a little bit of experience, and we had some staff on our multifamily side that at least understood what the basic principles were. One of the requirements that we put into our QAP is that in order to get additional points for energy efficiency, that they have to have an audit firm in place as part of the initial development team. And this ensures that right from the beginning, any new construction or rehab needs to have a individual that understands what energy efficiency is and how to incorporate it into the building. As I said, MEHA 1 was a partnership between us and the Maryland Energy Administration. It was pretty critical in the beginning because they brought some technical knowledge of what energy efficiency was and how to evaluate it, and we were able to bring the other side of the equation, which is the understanding of the financing mechanisms as well as the relationship with the builders, which was awfully critical. One of the things in the beginning is that we did not require energy audits. Literally every unit that was done was on a project by project basis, and every measure that the architect or the engineer put into their submission was evaluated and verified by MEA. We were looking at that point to measures that were predicting a positive savings to investment ratio. In the beginning, it was a 1-to-1, but that was changed as time went on. Construction progress inspections were completed jointly by our construction management staff, as well as MEA, to make sure that there was the technical compliance as well as the compliance that we required for the financing. We consciously were designing the program to incorporate the maximum amount of flexibility with the building owners. We felt that right from the beginning, a one program fits all was not going to work with building owners, and I think one of the earlier speakers mentioned that there's a heck of an investment on the part of these owners in their building, in the physical building itself. So to go in and to say, you've got to do this right down the line, we knew it was going to be something that would be an impediment to getting a large-scale involvement. We also had to provide funds as grants and loans for energy efficiency. We'll talk a little bit about that later on, but within the tax-exempt financing world, in a lot of cases, to provide a grant actually is a negative for those that have provided the financing and provide the equity to actually develop these buildings. So we ended up going to a 1-to-1.1, and then later on a 1-to-1.5, and incorporating the DOE requirement for a CER of 10. And the CR is the cost effectiveness ratio, and I'm not going to get into how you come up with that, but that certainly was part of the learning process. We also were very careful internally, because when the funds became available, the first thing that the folks on our multifamily side said was, boy, this is really great. Now, this is going to fill other gaps that we have in equity for the development of these units. So we made sure that we were very, very careful about separating what we fund for energy efficiency from what needed to be done as far as the construction or the rehab. And talking to other housing finance agencies, this is an issue that constantly comes up. And we were successful in that. We also realized early on that despite their credentials and the experience that a lot of the architects and the engineers had, their original submissions were seriously flawed, very inconsistent, and overestimated the potential savings. We did do a project that was also a pilot that was very interesting, what we called a deep energy retrofit. And this was a rehab of actually three units, and on one of the units we did this deep energy retrofit. We found a couple of things with that. The first thing is that even though we had one of the best, and I'm not going to name them, but one of the best contractors in the state and one of the largest architectural firms in the state, they over-sealed the building. They didn't make a consideration for the fact that they had fossil fuel stoves in a building that they had no mechanical ventilation. And then also, in order to get the maximum savings for the deep energy retrofit, they would have had to go a lot further than they were interested, willing, or had the funds to do by doing things like having to tear out walls to put additional insulation in, reconfigure chases, get in and put wraparound pipes. So we found that some of our existing zoning and permitting laws also caused some difficulties in reaching our goals. Ultimately, incidentally, they did have to go back and put in mechanical ventilation as well as to open ventilation to the outside. But this ended up literally a 50% reduction in bills year over year. MIHA 1 became the foundation then for what we've done since then. It identified that different projects require different funding. I think that was mentioned earlier on. It helped us to expand beyond our portfolio. We were surprised at how many, what am I doing here? Yeah, I jumped. We also identified that there was a need for more consistency with the energy analysis. And one of the things we were trying to do was to, again, have a product that the building owners would embrace and that we easily could train and supervise the construction and architectural staffs. It was also a significant learning curve for the housing staff, and we found that we needed to improve or to get staff that really understood a lot more about energy efficiency versus relying on our MEA. This had a significant impact on new construction and retrofit projects. The 48 projects, 5,100 units, and the average residential household bills were expected to save over $500 annually on the utility bills. Coming out of that, we had the opportunity to apply for funds from the Maryland Public Service Commission here in Maryland. They have something that they call Empower Maryland. Empower Maryland, briefly, is a utility ratepayer-funded program that is managed through the Maryland Public Service Commission and is implemented primarily by the utilities, with the idea being that they're going to lower energy consumption by 20% by 2015. We came in and said, look, we work statewide. We already have a foundation through what we've done in MIHA 1. We have an application intake process. We also have marketing and outreach in place. But what we'll provide you is consistent reporting throughout the entire state in each one of the utilities areas. And that secondly, we already have a working relationship with a large network of property owners. We also were able to convince them that because of our experience, we will be able to continue to make progress on MIHA 1 with what we call a Maryland-centric process. Properties or construction is different area to area based on local practice as well as the local climates and those types of things. So, and because we had already worked with a number of the contractors and the architects, we were able to be sensitive to some of the issues that they brought up along the way. So we received $12.5 million. The work was generally restricted to individually metered electric, heated, or air-conditioned tenant-based units. The idea behind this is that the tenants paid the ratepayer surcharge. So we weren't able to do master metered units, and actually we still aren't through this program. We also were able to get an allowance of up to 15% of the project funding could go to do work in the common areas. We are looking for still a minimum SIR of 1 to 1.1 for the overall project, not on a measure-by-measure basis, but for the overall project. With the 2012 IECC, that resulted in really a curtailment of what we were able to do in the new construction side, because we found that a lot of the projects we then had submitted did not meet our requirements, which was a 15% increase over code for energy efficiency. The challenges, tenant sign-off for utility consumption. Again, we've heard that as various people have presented on the program. That has been a challenge and is something that continues to be a challenge. Our workaround is we convinced the building owners to get tenant sign-offs. We're able to create our baseline by getting about 60 to 70% of these sign-offs and then going into the utilities websites to be able to get actual usage. What we also found is that a number of auditors, and this was a warning early on, a number of the auditors for a baseline weren't relying on actual usage, but they were building their models off of other buildings with similar local conditions. Again, we continue to have issues with business structures and the complexity. Even though a building owner might want to have this work done, their investors might balk because they think that they're going to lose basis for their tax credits. The other thing that we didn't anticipate was going to be more of a challenge is that Empower works on three-year timelines. And it takes, in a lot of cases, up to 18 months. In some cases, it's actually taken 36 months to complete the underwriting and construction process, especially when you're looking at projects that are coming in and looking for financing either through our low-income housing tax credits or our 4% tax-exempt bonds. And again, being challenged still with DHCD staffing.
So it was a great opportunity to learn and grow from the MIHA 1 program, as Bill's been saying. And we also learned, too, that education and communication related to understanding the affordable housing industry by the utility partners, by the Public Service Commission and staff, and our Office of People's Council, and other stakeholders. They really needed to understand the low-income portion, you know, the low-income housing industry and how their funding can help these programs out. For DHCD, the Empower program was a new arena. We're used to, as a state agency, using state and federal funds for doing energy efficiency, but now we're getting into a field for the utility programs that we're not familiar with. So historically, the utilities did all the energy efficiency programs. Now DHCD is coming in as the odd man out as both a state agency and a new implementer. So we kind of have two strikes against us. And the utilities have had a historical camaraderie with each other, but also with the commission staff. The language, the metrics, evaluation, and performance is all utility-centric. Again, it's not geared towards a state agency. So DHCD is unfamiliar with the industry terminology and requirements, and it was kind of a learn-as-you-go process. There were very few rules that were written outside of those that were defined in our application to the Public Service Commission, but there were a lot of rules. There were a lot of unwritten rules that exist, and that was learn as you go, and we still learn as we go. We spoke earlier about the 15% common areas, 50% of funding from the common areas, and the challenge we had is that we were missing a lot of opportunities while we're in these buildings. So we decided that, we would try to go after getting more money for the common areas because, as was indicated earlier in the presentation, the common areas are part of the building, and it's still opportunity, but we need to capture that opportunity, and right now we're not getting the funding to support that. We saw a lack of consistency. Even the guidance that DHCD had was not specific enough. Energy auditors still didn't quite know what it is that we wanted. And in reviewing energy audits, we always had questions because they weren't given specific enough direction to give us the specific answers that we needed. We allowed for too many building simulation tools. So we'd get independent spreadsheets. We would get just a run of the gamut of energy audit programs submitting for funding, and there's no consistency between those programs. The utilities are funded by territorial limitations. You know, there's five participants, but only one of those participants do gas, so we couldn't do gas in four other territories. Free ridership was a concern. Stakeholders were concerned that building owners would be getting free improvements that they would have paid for themselves anyways, but the program's designed to help the tenants out, and the tenants are paying for the bills. So we continue to develop best practices. We developed an energy audit guide with assistance to the Newport partners. We actually started to implement BPI multifamily standard requirements. We created an energy auditor qualification form. We don't contract with auditors, but we do qualify them. And it's intended to identify their credentials and also have them acknowledge that they have read and understand our guidance. And we hired in-house technical staff, and that made a big difference as well. So we narrowed the auditing tools down to four, the tools that were that are actually approved by DOE for the weatherization program for multifamily buildings to help bring that consistency in line. One of the big steps that we did that made a big difference for the owners was putting in place a pre-qualification inspection, which DHCD does, and we go out to the properties and just try to identify if there's enough opportunity to qualify for funding so the owners don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on audits only to have it submitted and realize that there's no funding or that they don't qualify for any funding.
So the bottom line is we're just about out of time here, improving communication with all the stakeholders, keeping in mind that their language isn't the same language that we would be used to as a state agency or even within the measures that are normally used in energy efficiency. Make sure that you get immersed in the various meetings with the Public Utility Commission or the PSC if you're using them, and also make sure that you build relationships with the utilities themselves. Provide flexibility in dealing with those parties, but make sure you get what you need. Don't stray from the mission. If there's something that needs to be done and there's pushback, that you continue to make sure that you have that you make your case, because what you don't need is to end up in a situation where you've agreed to something that actually minimizes your effectiveness. Develop the clear guidance. Create consistency, deliver consistent guidance and consistent messages, but do not be afraid of having to make changes as time goes on and as you learn what you're doing. We have been approved by the Public Service Commission for another 3 years, another $15 million, and then they also gave us $5 million out of the commercial side of this for the public areas. And we project that we're going to end up doing about another 6,000 units over this period of time. We have something else called the Customer Investment Fund, but we won't get into that at this point. It does allow us to experiment a little bit. It came from the money from the merger between Exelon and Constellation Energy. And if you really want to know what's going on, the only person that didn't talk today, Danielle England, who's our senior energy management officer, is probably far more helpful than the two of us are. So thank you.
Thank you, Bill and Scott. I hope others on the call will heed your advice about best practices, because I'm sure there are other housing agencies on the call who have experienced some of the same challenges that you. So congratulations on your success so far.